Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
David Sedaris has a new tour. He's the elfin teller of heartwarming stories. Who can forget the one we first heard years ago about his being a Christmas elf at Macy's?
We were given a demonstration of various positions in action, acted out by returning elves who were so on stage and goofy that it made me a little sick to my stomach. Everything these elves say seems to have an exclamation point on the end of it. It makes one's mouth hurt to speak with such forced merriment.
Okay, not so heartwarming. David Sedaris is often annoyed, also poignant when he writes about dark subjects, including his family. Funny, he has a new children's book. His sister Amy Sedaris says it was inspired by her face, which moves like a sock puppet. We want to hear more about that. As David Sedaris joins us from the NPR studios in New York, welcome back.
Thanks, Robin.
How are you?
Well, you know, I'm starting on this tour, and so I've written, I don't know, 7 new essays, and I was just going through them, thinking, okay, that's about being annoyed, that's about being annoyed, that's about being... And you really have to watch that after a certain age.
Yes, right? Because you could suddenly turn around and find yourself not elfin, but...
Trollish.
Yeah, trollish.
You know, is the fear right there.
Well, I am thinking of Andy Rooney on 60 Minutes, who was kind of curmudgeonly. I mean, the late, great Andy Rooney, but then he really seemed upset all the time.
Well, I used to watch him on TV when I was a kid, and I thought, that's my job. And then I started as a commentator on CBS Sunday Morning a few years ago. So I'm getting close. And I can talk about whatever I want to, but whatever I talk about, people get furious. During this difficult time, when so many Americans are looking for work, I'd like to introduce an idea for something I'm calling the citizen's dismissal. It's like a citizen's arrest, but instead of detaining someone, you get to fire them. Take this lifeguard at a YMCA I went to so that I could swim laps. And 10 minutes after I'd started, the young woman blew her whistle, calling, "You all have to leave now." "How come?" I asked. "I have to go to my parents' house," she said. "I'm going there to do some laundry," she told me. "And then I'm going home." "Oh, you're going home, all right," I wanted to say, "because you are fired."
Okay. Are you being sued by said lifeguard?
No, I didn't say that to her, and I got out of the pool.
And did it really happen? Somebody...
Oh, of course.
Why do you think you do this catalog? You keep track of things in diaries.
Well, I don't know. I keep a notebook in my pocket, and I write things down. And the other day, I was sitting with having coffee with a friend, and this woman went by, and she allowed her dog to urinate on a sign someone had in front of their business, right? So the woman comes out of her business and said, "What are you doing? You know, like all day long, people let their dogs pee on my sign." And the young woman said, "You can't talk to me that way." And the woman said, "But now I have to go in it." And the young woman put her hand on the older woman and said, "You need to calm down." Okay, you're caught. You allowed your dog to urinate on someone's sign. What you need to say is, "You wait right here. I'm going to go buy a bottle of water, and I'm going to clean your sign. I'm terribly embarrassed. It won't happen again." And then the woman would say, "I don't want you coming back. I don't want, you know, you, sometimes you just have to take it." I was riding my bike, I don't know, 40 years ago, and I hit this woman.
Oh.
She wasn't looking. She stepped off the curb, and I hit her, and she fell into the street. I didn't say, "You weren't looking." I said, what can I do? And she just screamed at me. And then I thought, all right, my job is to sit here until she screamed out and just take it.
It sounds like you would really like there to be some civility.
Well, you know, you don't write satire unless you have definite idea of how the world should work. You know? Mm-hmm. Everybody does. It's just that they used to keep it to themselves.
Unlike you.
Right.
Or, I mean, unlike anyone who's on social media. I mean, I'm not on social media, but if somebody's on social media, I'm sure that young woman went home and said, "This Karen just attacked me for no reason," you know.
Speaking of social media and how you feel like maybe you should curb some of this because you don't want it to become a thing, an Andy Rooney thing, I just want to briefly mention an incident that happened in 2018. When you were speaking to a crowd, one of these shows, and everybody's asking you questions, and someone asked you about Donald Trump, again, this is 2018, you were like, oh, my God, I'm not prepared to talk about Donald Trump. But you tossed off a line and you said you'd like to build a time machine so you could go back in time and smother him in his crib. Now, I'm like, oh, I don't think we want to talk about smothering people. But that shot out on social media. You got death threats?
Yeah, I didn't take them seriously, but my publicist called and said, you're getting these death threats. I really think you need to issue a statement, right? Mm-hmm. And so my statement was, I am so sorry, I misspoke. Instead of going back in a time machine and smothering Donald Trump in his crib, I would go back a little further and convince his mother to have an abortion.
Okay, so this is not getting better, David. It's really not. So do you ever find yourself saying, well, wait a second, how would I feel if someone, well, how do I feel about Donald Trump tweeting out a picture of Joe Biden hogtied in the back of
right.
a truck?
Well, no, actually, when I look back on it, I understand exactly what you mean. You can't say it's cool for me to joke about killing somebody, but it's not okay for somebody else to joke about killing somebody. I agree with you. You have to really think twice about what it is that's coming out of your mouth. The majority of my show is me reading out loud. So that I'm very responsible for, right? I thought about in advance. I rewrote it. And then the Q&A comes and, you know, then I'm winging it, which I'm not a professional winger.
I could see your team going, no winging from David. All right.
Sometimes what I do is somebody asks me a question, and usually I repeat it, and sometimes I don't repeat it, and I'll say 12.
So no one knows.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to your new children's book, shall we? It's called Pretty Ugly. A family that, with their big warts coming out and stuff, you would say they're ugly, but they don't think that. You were inspired by your sister, Amy Sedaris, and her face.
Oh, just how she has a rubber face and can make faces. And so that was it. There was a woman, and she's the art director of The New Yorker, Francoise Mouly, coupling writers with artists. She coupled me with Ian Falconer 25 years ago, and we did this book together, but it was like a couple of weeks ago they brought it out as its own book. And it's about a family of trolls.
Trolls. And we should say Ian Falconer, children's book illustrator.
He did the Olivia books.
The Olivia books won the Caldecott Honor for that. And he passed away in 2023. He was only 63. So
yes. This
is a wonderful honor for him. And I want to hear more about, you know, your sister's face, because as she says, I think maybe some of my head bones are missing.
No, she really can just change her face completely.
Yeah. How did you bring that to this story of this troll family and this little girl who tries to change her face?
She changes her face and, you know, her grandmother says, you know, it's going to stick like that one day. And then it does stick like that. And all of a sudden she's pretty and everyone's horrified. And then, but her grandmother says, real beauty's on the inside. So she sticks her hand down her throat and turns herself inside out, and then she's just hideous, and her brain is on top of her head, and her eyes are like hanging by cables. And then everyone thinks she looks great again.
A lesson, maybe, about beauty in eyes of beholder?
I think children must be exhausted with everybody trying to teach them a lesson all the time. And clearly they don't work.
Well, there's that. The tour you're going on, across the U.S., Canada, Holland, Norway, Sweden.
So I tour through Europe quite a bit.
That's so interesting. Do you feel as if you're representing America?
Well, sometimes you definitely are, you know. I mean, when I go on a book tour in Germany, for example, all the questions are political questions. Mm. And that's not really my thing.
As you've demonstrated.
Yeah. It's not really. Sometimes somebody will say something when I'm signing books, but I welcome that, especially if I'm talking about something that I admittedly don't know that much about, right? Like, I just got back from Pakistan.
Wait, what?
I was there for a literary festival, and everybody said, you can't go to Pakistan. The State Department said, you shouldn't go to Pakistan. And I went to Pakistan, and I was stopped on the street, I don't know, 30 times a day.
You're kidding me.
By people saying, hello, where are you from? Can I take your picture? Can you talk to my sister on the telephone? Hello, may I shake your hand? I mean, people were pathologically friendly. And And I'm talking about businessmen walking down the street and people who were working on cars. I just wasn't prepared for that level of hospitality. I think it's because nobody goes there. They're just so delighted when somebody does.
And David Sedaris, I have to say, that's a country that's not welcoming to gay people.
No, it's against the law to be gay.
Yeah.
But I met plenty of gay people when I was there. It's like the United States in the 1950s, except you don't get killed.
Largely.
Yeah.
Sadly.
I sign books for a couple hours, so everybody who comes to the line, I get to ask them questions. For instance, someone was carrying along a tray of birds, and I thought, oh, I guess you buy them and you eat them. And I would have gone home thinking that. And someone said, no, you pay the man and he releases one. And it's a good deed that you do. Huh. But I would have gone home instead saying, oh, they love those songbirds. Don't be a songbird in Pakistan. They'll eat you. Not think twice about it.
David Sedaris, he's on a whirlwind international tour through November. David, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thanks a million, Robin.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.